We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Jordana and Paul with you on a Monday afternoon. Kevin Reed driving this bus. Thank you for spending some time with the both of us. Paul's up at the cabin. I am in studio, and it looks like a beautiful day in Minnesota.
It sure is. Every day is a beautiful day. If you can crawl to the window and look out,
it's a
beautiful day.
It's a good day. Last Thursday, a few days ago, state regulators approved a $2.6 billion pipeline that a Canadian oil company, Enbridge, wants to build or improve across Minnesota. Environmental groups and several American Indian bands fiercely oppose this. Their certificate of need was granted to construct a replacement for Line 3, which was originally built in the 1960s. The Public Utilities Commission also approved a proposed pipeline route by a vote of 3-2. On Thursday, they unanimously approved the $2.6 billion for the pipeline. Now, as I mentioned, environmental groups, several American Indian bands are hoping to appeal, but then there are supporters, which include Enbridge customers, labor unions, and the Minnesota counties that the pipeline will pass through. They say it may create jobs, new tax revenues for the project. So joining us now, we have people on both sides of the issue, and we will be taking your calls, by the way. Our phone number is 651-989-9226. Our text line is 81807. Joining us on the line is Bob Schoenberger. Bob is, Winona's first?
Yeah.
Oh, joining us on the line is Winona LaDuke from Honor the Earth. Winona, welcome to the program.
Hey, thanks.
We're going to speak with Bob a little bit later in the program. So, Winona, tell us what Honor the Earth does and why it opposes the pipeline.
Well, Honor the Earth is a national Native environmental organization, and we're headquartered on the White Earth Indian Reservation in northern Minnesota. And we're primarily, you know, interested in protecting the environment and traditional cultural practices of Native people. And we've opposed this pipeline from the beginning for a couple of reasons. First, you know, the pipeline itself, the amount of oil that's going to go through it is the equivalent of 50 new coal-fired power plants, bringing that online. And in a time of climate change, where we spent about $600 billion last year on climate change-related disasters, we feel like now would be the time to not do any more stuff like that. And, you know, so one, climate change, two, that the pipeline, the new route is not the old route. It's a brand new route, and it cuts through some of the best wild rice territory in Minnesota. We know that that's a bad idea because this is our only place. And three, we think Enbridge should be a good corporate citizen. And they've already got six pipelines, and they have already a big mess of that is up there. And we want a plan for that. And we want this good corporate customer to clean up its old mess and not make a new mess. I've raised a lot of children, and that's kind of what I say. So super disappointed, more than disappointed. You know, dismayed at the cowardice and the rogue nature of the Minnesota Public Utilities Commission, which, you know, after all, both the Department of Commerce and the administrative law judge recommended against issuing those permits. And unprecedented that the Public Utilities Commission would actually approve over those sets of recommendations. And, you know, I just think it's a very sad day for not just the Ojibwe, it's a sad day for Minnesota when your democracy seems to be purchased for $5 million by the Enbridge Corporation, a sad day for democracy.
Winona, this is Paul. What do you think really went on with that decision? I mean, is it purely dollars and cents this decision? What do you think really drove this?
Well, I mean, you know, the commissioners themselves said that they said Enbridge had a gun to their head, which is a really bad way to do business. And what they felt is that this line is leaking. And that line, you know, three has been made in substandard material. Remember, all these lines were put in except for the Clipper before the Clean Water Act and the Clean Air Act, you know, laws that maybe Trump is going to get rid of now, work on it. But we in Minnesota value our water. And so that line was particularly problematic, although pictures of line four do not show it to be a lot better, but apparently it's holding together. And, you know, so they felt that this line was going to leak and that there was going to be a catastrophic leak unless they approved a new line. And I think Enbridge should have just said, hey, this is a lot of risk. They told their shareholders in 2016 that they could move up to 500,000 barrels in the other line, including reversing the one route, the southern, I think a Southern Lights route that heads north. They said they could reverse that. And they could put 500,000 barrels of oil into their other lines without putting in a new line three and just retire the old line. I think if it was really a good corporate citizen, Enbridge would have spent, you know, would have closed down a dangerous line and spend $2 billion in removing it. That's a lot of jobs for Minnesota. And, you know, be a good corporate citizen. I know Enbridge isn't going anywhere. I want them to be a good corporate citizen instead of, you know, one, having commissioners feel like they had a gun to their head. This is America. I shouldn't have a democracy that looks like that. Two, $5 million in lobbying. I mean, unprecedented. Unprecedented that the PUC should override all of the recommendations of every agency that, you know, were set to recommend it. And I feel that Enbridge basically bought their pipeline. And I'm disappointed in the corporation, and I am appalled and very disturbed at the Public Utilities Commission.
Winona, on your website, you write that Enbridge wants to simply abandon the existing Line 3 pipeline, walk away from it because of over 900 quote, structural anomalies, and build a brand new line in this new corridor. You stand by that? I mean, this is simply not cost-effective for them to repair?
No, I mean, just to start with, I can stand by that now because now Enbridge, in the last minute, threw in a bunch of new deals, and they're like, we're going to start negotiating with landowners. If landowners want things removed, we will work with that. You know, so they made a lot of promises that weren't on the table at the beginning because they felt they needed to sweet the pie. You know, so that was one of the main things. Another thing that Enbridge said is that they was going to buy renewable energy to offset their 500 megawatts of power, you know, which is what I've heard is the amount that they will be using, you know, for powering this pipeline. And frankly, I think that's a little bit like putting lipstick on a pig. Running a tar sands pipeline with renewable energy. And I find it to be rather astonishing they would suggest that since Enbridge just liquidated all of their renewable energy projects, all of their renewable energy assets. So I found it pretty disingenuous, frankly. So, you know, what they said and then has changed a little bit. Enbridge now wants to clean up some of the line, but Enbridge wants basically a new line, and they want to, you know, the question of the liability. You know, I'm not sure who's liable. I mean, the administrative law judge said that Enbridge was not, the mothership was not actually liable. It was a limited liability corporation liable for a catastrophic spill. I don't know that that's changed. So, yeah, I mean, I got a lot of concerns, you know, aside from the decision itself.
Winona, we also want to hear the other side of this. Bob yes. Schoenberger is Minnesotans for Line 3. He's going to be joining us after the break. Winona, you're welcome to stay on the line, listen to the conversation, listen to some of the calls. But if you don't, I want to thank you for your time here. I want to thank you for your passion. We can feel your energy about the product, and we're sorry that it didn't go your way.
Yeah, it's going to be a long battle ahead. 29 separate permits have yet to be issued, and there's a lot of people that oppose this line. So, you know, they're long ways from putting a pipe in. And, you know, right now I feel like this is going to be the most expensive pipeline that Enbridge never built.
Winona,
you know,
LaDuke.
That's what I'm going to work on because I think it's a really bad idea, and I'm going to stand for our water and for our people. So thank you for your time.
Thank you, Winona. Winona LaDuke from
Thanks,
Honor
Winona.
The Earth. We're going to take a quick break and bring in Bob Schoenberger. He is for Minnesotans for Line 3. If you have questions, thoughts, anything, 651-989-9226 is our number. Bob Schoenberger is up next. Looks like Enbridge is staying up in northern Minnesota because state regulators, by a unanimous margin, or my unanimous victory Thursday, approved a $2.6 billion pipeline that the Canadian oil company is planning to build across northern Minnesota. You heard from Winona LaDuke from Honor the Earth. She and her groups are opposed to the pipeline. Paul and I are now going to hear from Bob Schoenberger. Bob is with Minnesotans for Line 3 and clearly on the victorious end of this this decision. Bob, welcome to the program.
Well, thanks for having me.
Why is Line 3 good for Minnesota?
Well, it's good for a lot of reasons. You know, not the least of which it's, you know, a good supply of petroleum-based products. It helps keep prices down. Strong supply. The Canadian product is something that's desirable for a lot of the refineries in the Midwest, and to the extent supply and demand makes sense to anybody, I mean, it's going to be a good project. It's going to maintain good supply to the entire Midwest refinery region. You know, it's a quality of life issue, you know, as far as I'm concerned. So that's good. I think I'm not ready to pay $5 a gallon for gas yet, and I'm sure most people aren't. So that's good.
Hey, Bob, I have this is Paul, by the way. I have a foot in both camps. I still love my Ram 1500 gas powered pickup truck, and I also have an electric vehicle, which I also love. So I do see both sides of this argument. Can you answer a question? The oil that Enbridge Line 3 is going to bring in, is that coming from the Bakken, or is it coming from the Athabasca River Basin in Alberta, pulling in the tar sands, which are arguably some of the dirtiest fuels on the planet?
Well, it the majority of it will be coming from northern Alberta. So, you know, from the oil sands area up there. You know, they run quite a few different streams in that line, but mm-hmm. the vast majority of it's going to be coming from Alberta, northern Alberta. And so, and like you, I've got an electric UTV I use on my property, and I've got a shack in northern Wisconsin that's got solar panels on it too. So I too feel this the same way. So I think when you look at you know the need to help maintain good supply and keep prices down until we can get the technology and a price for some of these other alternative fuels, you know, you got to bridge a gap somehow, and this is the way that we have.
But was this the only way? Winona from Under the Earth, and I don't know how much of her interview that you did get a chance to hear, you know, she said they could do it a different way, that Enbridge needs to be a better, you know, have more corporate responsibility for the area there. I mean, what is your response to that?
Well, you know what, I think if a guy looks into the details and some of the things that Enbridge has done, has done and has, you know, on their portfolio right now, you know, they've got over 300 megawatts of wind energy across North America and some over in Europe too. So they are not insignificant when it comes to green energy. So that, you know, that's kind of a big deal. And that shows to me that, you know, they're in it for the green energy sources too. You know, we all know that those are pretty heavily subsidized, you know, in order to make them desirable and to get companies like Enbridge and Xcel Energy and some of these others to go ahead and build those things. So, you know, it's they're not, you know, they're not insignificant in the green energy market, and it just takes time. It's still expensive. It's still not affordable for everybody. To do, whether they're doing it on their own or getting it from companies like Enbridge. So it's still going to take time. We got to bridge that gap somehow.
Hey, Bob, talk to us a little bit about jobs, Minnesota jobs, that the pipeline will create, how this impacts the tax base. And, you know, we love our lakes, and I'm sure you feel the same way. God forbid there's a leak or there's some sort of a problem on the line. Are you comfortable? Can you sleep well at night knowing that even in a worst-case scenario that this thing could be cleaned up and not threaten our northern lakes or our wetlands or, you know, the wild rice fields out up there?
Well, yeah, okay, a couple questions there. Let me talk about jobs first. They're substantial. These are good-paying jobs. You know, this project is set up to be a job performed by union contractors, which is good living wage paying jobs, a lot of them. Several thousand direct jobs for, you know, off and on, depending on how you look at, especially with some of the take-up that's probably going to have to happen. On the old Line 3, you're looking for at several thousand jobs over 2 to 3 years. You know, as it tapers off, you know, and some of the old Line 3 comes out, I mean, it's substantial jobs. You know, there's going to be support jobs that are probably going to push close to 1,000 when this thing is up and running. That'll last for the first year, and then that'll taper off over time. And then you look at the indirect jobs and money that's going to be spent at hotels, restaurants, campgrounds, parts houses, you know, to keep the heavy equipment running, fuel to keep this the machinery going. That is not insignificant, and you know, in the end, we'll probably know. But I know there was a lot of talk about, you know, the spinoff jobs and work and revenue generator just by building the Minneapolis Metrodome and then the Super Bowl. So if that's a big deal for the city of Minneapolis, just multiply that by, you know, three or four. And that's kind of the impact that you're going to see up in northern Minnesota. So that's kind of the jobs part of it. You know, with regard to, you know, the safety and the environment, you know, I'm with you there. You know, that's always a concern of mine. But I think what people are most fearful of is they don't understand really what we do. You know, the people, the professional construction workers, and they are professional construction workers that are highly trained, skilled, go out and build these lines. They're awesome. I've seen them work. I've watched them work. The technology and the quality that goes into and the inspection that goes into everything that they do all the way down the line is really mind blowing when you look at you know where they are and you know the different things that they go through and the codes and the standards that they have to comply with to make a quality pipeline. They're a lot different than they were 20, 30 years ago. They've gotten tighter. And the employees have gotten better. So
hey, CJ, Bob, I just want to jump in because we got a call on the line and we're running out of time here. So CJ's in Maple Grove. You have a question for Bob, CJ?
Yeah, my question is real simple. While I agree with most of what he's saying, I'm always a little bit put off or set off when someone comes in right out of the gate and says, if we don't build this line, our gas is going to be at $5 a gallon. I find that very hard to believe that one line has that kind of an impact on our gas prices. We hear about it in the news all the time. A line breaks over in the Middle East, a 3-inch line breaks, and our prices are going to go up. I find that hard to believe. Could he respond to that? And tell
good
me
question. CJ, so Bob, was that an exaggeration?
You know, I think, no. You have to look at it this way. Right now, you know, we've got supply that's maintaining our market today. And I think if all of a sudden, if you close the valve on line 3 tomorrow, that you would feel that. Fella on the phone would feel it. I would feel it. Everybody would feel that. Now, as far as, you know, maintaining supply and keeping prices lower over time, that's really what I'm talking about. I think if you don't build a pipeline, gas isn't going to be $5 tomorrow, not going to be $5 next month, probably won't be $5 next year. But over time, with the 350,000 barrels a day that's flowing down that line today, which is basically half throttle for that line, that's enough to feed both Minneapolis refineries 100%. And the Superior Refinery up in Wisconsin, 100%, and there's still a little bit left to go to the Chicago market. So if you think about in that context, shut line 3 down tomorrow, close those refineries tomorrow, close the one in Wisconsin tomorrow, what are you going to do then?
Bob Schoenberger. Bob is all right with Minnesotans for line 3. Bob, we really appreciate the time. Thanks for the explanation.
You bet.
Thanks,
thank you.
Bob.
Jobs. You know, there's going to be support jobs that are probably going to push close to 1,000 when this thing is up and running. That'll last for the first year, and then that'll taper off over time. And then you look at the indirect jobs and money that's going to be spent at hotels, restaurants, campgrounds, parts houses, you know, to keep the heavy equipment running, fuel to keep this the machinery going. That is not insignificant, and you know, in the end, we'll probably know. But I know there was a lot of talk about, you know, the spinoff jobs and work and revenue generator just by building the Minneapolis Metrodome and then the Super Bowl. So if that's a big deal for the city of Minneapolis, just multiply that by, you know, three or four, and that's kind of the impact that you're going to see up in northern Minnesota. So that's kind of the jobs part of it. You know, with regard to, you know, the safety and the environment. You know, I'm with you there. You know, that's always a concern of mine, but I think what people are most fearful of is they don't understand really what we do. You know, the people, the professional construction workers, and they are professional construction workers that are highly trained, skilled, go out and build these lines. They're awesome. I've seen them work. I've watched them work. The technology and the quality that goes into and the inspection that goes into everything that they do all the way down the line. Is really mind blowing when you look at, you know, where they are and, you know, the different things that they go through and the codes and the standards that they have to comply with to make a quality pipeline. They're a lot different than they were 20, 30 years ago. They've gotten tighter. And the employees have gotten better. So
hey, CJ, Bob, I just want to jump in because we got a call on the line and we're running out of time here. So CJ's in Maple Grove. You have a question for Bob, CJ?
Yeah, my question is real simple. While I agree with most of what he's saying, I'm always a little bit put off or set off when someone comes in right out of the gate and says, if we don't build this line, our gas is going to be at $5 a gallon. I find that very hard to believe that one line has that kind of an impact on our gas prices. We hear about it in the news all the time. A line breaks over in the Middle East, a 3-inch line breaks, and our prices are going to go up. I find that hard to believe. Could he respond to that? And tell
Good question. CJ, so Bob, was that an exaggeration?
You know, I think, no. You have to look at it this way. Right now, we've got supply that's maintaining our market today. And I think if all of a sudden, if you close the valve on line 3 tomorrow, that you would feel that. The fella on the phone would feel it. I would feel it. Everybody would feel that. Now, as far as, maintaining supply and keeping prices lower over time, that's really what I'm talking about. I think if you don't build a pipeline, gas isn't going to be $5 tomorrow. Not going to be $5 next month. Probably won't be $5 next year. But over time, the 350,000 barrels a day that's flowing down that line today, which is basically half throttle for that line, that's enough to feed both Minneapolis refineries 100% and the Superior refinery up in Wisconsin 100%. And there's still a little bit left to go to the Chicago market. So if you think about in that context, shut line 3 down tomorrow, close those refineries tomorrow, close the one in Wisconsin tomorrow, what are you going to do then?
Bob Schoenberger. Bob is All with right. Minnesotans for Line 3. Bob, we really appreciate the time. Thanks for the explanation.
You bet.
Thanks, Bob. Okay, when we come back, Jor, we hear so much about the importance of getting a college degree, and I'm sure not going to argue against that. I mean, for many of us, it's still a great idea. But it doesn't mean you can't have a well-paying six-figure salary. So we are going to investigate the top 25 gigs, the top 25 jobs you can land without a four-year college degree. It's going to surprise you. That's coming up next on CCO. Giordano, what doesn't kill you often injures you.
Yes, but does make you stronger. That's right.
Yeah, it does make you stronger.
Skin grows back tougher. Mm-hmm.
That's right. That's right. College may be overrated for a lot of people. That was always the end all, the be all, at least for many people. When we were growing up, right? The expectation was if you can afford it, if you can figure it out, you better get your butt to college. But new data suggests, especially with these kids coming out with a few hundred thousand bucks worth of college debt, it may not be for everybody. And here's the thing. There are lots of good paying jobs that only require a 2-year associate degree, maybe a post-secondary non-degree certificate, or maybe just a high school diploma. According to data from the U.S. Bureau of Labor Statistics, there are 25 high-paying jobs that you do not need a 4-year degree to pursue. And we should post this on our Facebook site, our CCO Radio Facebook site, because there was some stuff in here that made me do a double take. You know what's number one on the list?
Huh.
Something we can't live without. Air traffic controllers.
The truth.
You need an associate's degree. That's a 2-year degree, not a 4-year college bachelor of science or bachelor's degree. Mm-hmm. But the listen to this. The median annual wage, the median salary for an air traffic controller in the United States, $122,410.
Nice.
And they project 7,500 new openings over the next 5 to 6 years between now and 2024.
Now, here's the great thing about this is that this isn't a job where you can have previous experience. So it's not like you have to have experience. No previous work experience needed. You kind of got to get the job and then you're there. And they train you on the job. So you don't have to take extra classes and there isn't continuing education like with teaching. It's on the job training. There you go. I love it.
And I'd be curious, too, if some of our listeners, you know, fell into jobs, you know, good-paying jobs mm-hmm. without the college degree, give us a call or text us and let us know how you did that and maybe some advice for other listeners who are looking for the right gig. Maybe they can't or won't go to college, right. But that doesn't mean you can't come up with a great paying job.
That's right. We'd love to hear it. 651-989-9226. Number two on the list, maybe this wouldn't go well in North Korea if the U.S. gets their way, nuclear power reactor operators.
Ah.
Okay, they make a median annual wage of $91,170. The education you need is high school diploma or equivalent. So you might be okay with a GED. And there's about 2,600 job openings expected in the next 10 or 15 years. Pretty good deal.
Hmm.
That's a lot. $91,000.
I've always wanted to be a nuclear power operator.
You could totally get that job, by the way.
What's that red button do right there?
So maybe you
can I push that red button?
You may not have that job.
I want to push the red button. I want to push it now.
Come on, give us
another
one.
I want to push it repeatedly.
Give us another job.
Number three on the list, transportation, storage, and distribution managers. And as the name implies, they coordinate transportation, storage, and distribution activities in accordance with organizational policies and applicable government laws.
So what does that mean?
Is,
like where you store school buses? Transportation storage. What's transportation storage? We're storing subways?
I think it comes down to logistics.
Okay.
Just making sure that you have the right equipment in the right spot for the right job. Mm-hmm. I don't know. I think it sounds to me like supply chain logistics when it comes to transportation.
I see. Got it.
Median annual wage, $89,000. And there are 27,000 of these jobs projected, job openings through 2024. The other thing, I don't know if it made the list here, is long-haul trucking. I mean, we have a serious shortage in this country, and I know it's a tough lifestyle.
It is.
But if you like to drive and you like independence, I think you can, you know, quite easily make six figures if you drive a rig, if you drive an 18-wheeler.
Yeah, I'm looking at the rest of the list through. We're not going to be able to talk about all 25. I don't see long-haul truckers, but I do see captains, mates, and pilots of water vessels. They're making about $72,000. But commercial pilots, they're number 10 on the list. They're making over $77,000. But again, that's not long-haul truckers. Let's get back to fourth in line. Fourth in line at $84,840 are first-line supervisors of police and detectives. So they directly supervise and coordinate activities of members of a police force. High school diploma mm-hmm. or equivalent, 43,000 of these openings in the next, you know, 10, 20 years. It's a good game.
Number five on the list, Jor, is power distributors and dispatchers working at various power plants. Mm-hmm. The median annual wage, and keep in mind, this is just kind of a mid-range,
right.
$81,900. And all you need is a high school diploma or the equivalent. There are almost 4,000 of these projected job openings mm-hmm. In the next 6 years.
Some of the texts are coming in. Hey, guys, I started out with an associate's degree in machining and now make six digits. Boy, those are technical jobs. Fantastic. This other texter writes, I'm a poker dealer at a local card room. It's a minimum wage job, but with tips, and I'm pulling in close to $150,000 a year.
Holy cow.
And they had 6 weeks training.
You're kidding.
Yeah, it's a poker dealer at a local room. In fact, I was looking down the list, and I think number 23 on the list are gaming managers. They plan, mm-hmm. direct, or coordinate gaming operations in a casino. Now, the median wage is $69,000, but this poker dealer is telling us this person's got a minimum wage job, but the tips, I mean, it's the tips that's getting
that's
them.
That's serious.
$150,000.
And that's cash, and hopefully he's reporting that cash.
I might have to get in on that 6 weeks training for that.
More power to him.
We're not going to have time to get through some of the other ones, so, Paul, we're going to have to post it on Facebook, but we're talking about radiation therapists, nuclear mm-hmm. technicians, elevator installers and repairers.
Elevator installers.
Mm-hmm. Detectives, criminal investigators. Right. What else you got?
Commercial pilots. Mm-hmm. What do we have here? Power plant operators. First line supervisors for firefighting and prevention workers. nuclear medicine technologists.
That's scanning images and using, you know, in various patients. That's in the medical field. So these are technical jobs, and some of them are, you know, like 6 weeks training or a GED or something like that, which is fantastic. So those jobs are out there, and you don't have to pay $200K in student debt to get them.
Exactly. So, yeah, post those on our site, and thanks for playing along. All right, it is now that magical time. It is 5:48, Jor. That is Wicks and Jewelers time. Looking to sell your Rolex? Stop into Wicks and Jewelers today for a free no-obligation consultation with their expert watch appraisers.
Welcome back. Jordana and Paul here. It is 5:54, so this is an interesting story I just noticed today. Brian Ross. Paul, I don't know if you've seen this one. Brian Ross, veteran ABC News investigative correspondent.
He's leaving.
He's leaving. He apparently embarrassed ABC last year when he made an on-air report which suggested that former National Security Advisor Michael Flynn had been told by President Trump, to make contact with Russian officials during the 2016 campaign. Well, that was not true. And now he, Brian Ross, along with Rhonda Schwartz, who served as the chief investigative producer for Ross's team, are leaving. Hmm. Yeah, his reputation was tested after that December story. He said in a special report, he told viewers that Trump directly told Flynn, he directed Flynn when he was a candidate to make Russian contacts. The report... Get this, the report prompted the Dow to fall more than 300 points, and a tweet about it was reposted on tens of thousands of Twitter feeds before ABC clarified on World News Tonight that Trump's instruction came after he was elected. So it was after he was elected, not before.
Not before.
Not
well, actions have consequences,
and
right?
And it's accountability. You know, he screwed
it
up.
Is.
Big time.
And credibility. And he also said he's not done. He's going to keep on reporting. Can he come back from that? Who knows? We'll see.
Well, Brian Williams is still on MSNBC at night.
Yeah, he got demoted.
Yeah, he definitely got demoted, but he's still on the air. But you know what? I like the accountability. You screwed up, and you're either leaving or you're getting demoted or whatever it is. But if you do something wrong, you got to admit it. We have to have some truth.
Absolutely.
We're out of time, my friend. You and I. Oh, twins tomorrow, twins Wednesday. We'll see you Thursday.
All right.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.